at a couple of chakras. But it's the interaction that happens, which is the renaissance of the Android meme period. It's the interaction and juggling of all these landscapes made more and more possible by each individual, so that everybody has quadrophenia / ecstasy in the second column on the left.
Mm-hmm.
So chakric interaction is the process, the processing of process that is what people do with Facebook, and Twitter. They announce what they're doing. I'm going to the supermarket. I'm engaging my mistress. I'm doing this or that. They post this and announce. It's like an ongoing diary. And they're just announcing their process of their living. And their living is the process of juggling quadraphenically the four landscapes. Now we've arrived at a point beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
As we wait. Waiting for organic bodies. Organic bodies refers to not having the Android meme think you're empowered or make you feel empowered. Actually have cold fusion. Bring in actual empowerment. Then you'd have an organic body. That would be an organic juggling of the diminishing returns of the four landscapes.
So then you would shift from using the word chemical body to using the word organic body?
I wouldn't even use organic, because that's usually identified with a certain kind of chemical body information. Waiting for organic bodies is a loaded phrase. And organic bodies is not, being a vegetarian or a raw foodist. It is understanding Dobson, Lockdown Bob Rule, and all the knowledge and the five unconsciousnesses embedded in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that you're more than the physical body or the astral body or the chip body and the TV body.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chakric interaction. Chakri refers to the astral body, right? The astral archive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an interaction of these four bodies plus the unfoldment of the mystery landscape. That the interaction of those five levels is, and the understanding of that, would be an organic mode of perception. That'd be total tactility. So that's what the phrase organic body is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a red herring, because as Hex Body, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hex Body, or Kigya, used to say he thought that the Dobbs Quadrant was a celebration of going back to first nature or the chemical body. And he said, no, he's not for the Dobbs Quadrant. He's for the chip landscape. So he'd oscillate with the other quadrants. But he thought that the AP, because Dobbs was in that quadrant, that Dobbs was for that.
Yeah, he thought you were doing a poem of Prince Charles.
Yeah, Luddite, actually. At least he pretended that was his point of view. Maybe he understood, but he just was trying to be an ersatz anti-environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't use the word chemical body in anthropomorphic physical, the Dobbs Quadrant. You use the word physical body.
Right, because the anthropomorphic physical and the physical body does not just refer to what people think is physical. It's referring to what humans project that they're contained in. It's an anthropomorphic projection. That's what anthropomorphic is projecting human qualities in your environment around you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process of imagining you've got a body is an anthropomorphic tendency or an anthropomorphic function. So physical body is referring to the anthropomorphic physical and the chemical body and the newer bodies, because it includes quadrophenia, or over on the far right, second from the right, all four plus stages of apprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? The four phases before are second from the bottom in that column: cultural studies, cultural sociology, semiology, dialectical materialism. They come together to make all four plus stages of apprehension, stages of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So physical body is chakric interaction. So all the terms in the Dobbs Quadrant, as in every other quadrant, help explain each particular term. What's it mean to be the king of comedy? How can you be the king of comedy when everybody's a comedian today? Through their Facebooks, MySpaces.
Mm-hmm.
They're all manipians, as I write in Up the Orphic Ante. Baby boomers were basically manipians, and so was Generation X. So how do we get out of the rampant Niagara Falls of manipian irony and cynicism? What would be a positive escape vessel? It would be cartoon cubed, waiting for the organic hexadic. So the organic is when we have cold fusion, we're going to have a new anthropomorphic projection.
Well, implied in the whole idea of the cliche probe is a kind of ironic satire.
Yep. Did you hear what I say? What is going to be the anthropomorphic physical projection into the cold fusion environment? That's an aspect of Lockdown Bob Rule. I think it'll be what I'm acting out. How I live.
Well, you see, what I see is the...
Did you hear that phrase? How I live. I'm going to say something important there, Scott. Don't you want to hear what I'm saying? Don't drown. Let your own thoughts drown out. How I live may be how we will project ourselves. Maybe I'm a role model. That's Neo, right? Neo was the role model.
Mm-hmm.
The one. Am I the one? Of course, I wouldn't limit myself to how the movie The Matrix defines the one, because that movie was made by the android meme, as John Bogart pointed out.
Oh, if there were two Bob Dobbses on the planet and they both met each other, would they see each other in reverse image and think the other was the anti-Bob, and then would they kill each other?
That's me and Connie. We're the two Bob Dobbs. We're the two Connie Dobbs. We're mirrors of each other.
Mm-hmm.
People have known us for decades, knew how we looked, you know, decades ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, say that over time we've grown to look like each other. So we are becoming the twins.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens in any long-term couple marriage.
Yeah, yeah. But we're doing it while growing younger,
mm-hmm.
looking. Growing younger looking.
Mm-hmm.
The second coming of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be a third coming and fourth coming.
Oh. Have you heard of the movie The Miraculous Benjamin Buttons or whatever it's called?
No, is that a new one?
Yeah. It's about this guy who lives his life in reverse. He's born as an old man, but in a baby's body, but he ages in reverse.
Well, Bob Dylan sang about that. I'm younger than that now. I would say that could be a common pattern in the post-World War II society, where McLuhan used this. I mean, he took the phrase from Finnegan's Wake, gray at three. So young kids, he said, you know, children, and within 5 years were drinking in information experience through the television environment and other media that was way more than someone who lived 70 years, you know, 100 years before or before. So we begin quite old. In the 20th century, the baby boomers and the Generation Xers were, maybe they start as a baby, but the time they're 10 or the time they're 7, they're old. And then they have to struggle with all the old media environments, the print establishment and education, the military-industrial complex, the Hollywood, mainstream entertainment. They got to deal with all these older media. And to the degree you're ambidextrous with those media, you should start getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when Dylan sang that song, I'm older than that now, they communicated to baby.
I remember the Birds sang that song. Was that a Dylan song or a Bird song?
Dylan. It was a Dylan song. And the Birds popularized it. I think it was called My Back Pages.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that it was Dylan as a poet was channeling unconsciously the effect of the information environment. And if you are feeling like a Rumpelstiltskin and more and more independent of the android meme, and it's really tricky to pull that off, most people thought they were getting independent of it, but didn't. But the more you actually do it, you would feel younger. And that's why we remained. We got younger.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and Connie, because they mastered the effects of the Android Me with the help of the D-cell, you know, and also our inside information and knowledge of what was going on the mind control level, which goes brings us back to Harless Ghost.
Mm-hmm. And you beat the immune deficiency.
Right. Immune deficiency. The kids are born and they just get stripped away. They are not able to be immune to the seduction of the Android meme. That doesn't mean turning it off or smashing it. It means knowing how to swim in it.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that more and more it's enhancing your sense of communication, yet creating a world of non-communication underneath that. Now, you could say that you can't stop communicating.
So everyone feels alone in their cell, and they do hypercommunication as a way of trying to bridge the gap.
Yeah. And I just said a world of increasing non-communication. You can't have total cancellation of communication, like silence is communication. That's why, you know, Bush was the great communicator of non-communication, but it was a great effect. He had a lot of charisma in his time before it collapsed. And I always point out YouTube, Facebook, and MySpace, but YouTube were the technologies that helped collapse the post-information charisma of the Bush image.
Mm-hmm. Well, he became president in the era of Beavis and Butthead, and he sort of became the Beavis and Butthead president.
Right. They were two guys making fun of the Android meme.
Mm-hmm.
He sat there, you know, watching media, right?
Mm-hmm.
I only saw it like once or twice. But they seemed to be watching TV or something and commenting on it, which was part of the, what do you call that, the crazy show in the 90s where people come on and act ridiculous? And
I don't remember.
You know, Jerry Stiller, Jerry whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was people come on and spit in the face of centralized media.
Mm-hmm.
Decentralization of consciousness.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, Jerry Springer. That was a Beavis and Butthead phenomenon. People coming on and presenting ridiculous personal issues and not embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. Proud of their eccentricities and problems. That's part of the Rumpelstiltskin effect. Voluntary ESP, you make fun of the cloned ESP.
Mm-hmm.
And you voluntarily engage it, but with a manipulative detachment and abuse value. You abuse it back.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, that wears away your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, in the things that are vectoring in the center here, you have satellite opposite flesh.
Right.
Which implies a polarity, right?
Yeah.
Well, why do you have a polarity between the 22/14 and the Dobbstown, since I see those as sort of being complementary as opposed to polar?
Well, you haven't reread Up the Orphic Ante lately. In that, I spelled out back in the middle 90s that the number 22 referred to the baby boomer generation, and
right.
The number 14 represented the Generation X phase, and that Dobbstown represents the next generation, the Morpheus generation. And Dobbstown was there to help the kids to bypass the tragedies of the baby boomers and Generation X.
Oh.
We are against 22 and 14, which in the chart is the McLuhan quadrant and the Croker quadrant. We are the two zeros interlinked, or eight on its side quadrant. That's
mm-hmm.
Dobbstown.
Mm.
The letter H. Note, we have Henry the Fifth, or Henry V, V being 22. And 22, take away 8, the letter H is 14. So you see the H factor of Harry Hubbard, and Hugh Montague is in there. You got three H's. That's sort of like quartoon cubed. Remember, the number 2 cubed is 8. Or the squared process, two as a sign meaning squared. So three times the squaring, getting close to cubing.
Mm-hmm.
You could even say you square, then you cube, and then you, quadruple, whatever the fourth phase is. That's what we're pointing at. We're meta here, quarktoon cubed, and we've got, again, anthropomorphic physical body, and flesh. Lots of references to what people think is the organic body. You know what I mean?
Right. So Dobbstown is the 8 on its side. Is that also the infinity symbol?
Yeah. But I make it, I say infinity is too visual, too flat, so I make it the Mobius strip. So, oops, someone's trying to phone me. Okay, it's not for me. What was I going to say? Frank Zappa is a key component in the chart, right? Synchrony is the term he coined. He came up with the phrase, the big note. Grand Wazoo was a band he had. Dealt with the decadence. He commented on the decadence of his era. There's a quote, and I'm going to find this quickly, by Zappa. Here we go. Click that. Go up here. Okay. Zappa, going down a recent thing I put together. Second here. So I got to go down here. Did you hear the phone go?
No, I don't hear it on my end.
Darren, where is this? I think you should stop the tape, and then
I'll just
go back.
Yeah, I'll pause it here.
Okay, I found it. This is a quote from Zappa. He says, now imagine, he's defining his sense of what physical reality is, what time is, what his physics are. And he says, now imagine a Mobius vortex inside a spherical constant, and you've got my cosmology. Now, he's got a Mobius vortex, not just a Mobius strip, a Mobius vortex.
That's like a chorus, a cone slash torus.
Yeah, right. Inside a spherical constant, he defines that other areas of this section that this quote is from. He says that's the idea that all time is happening. Everything's happening at once. So remember, my chart is showing the electric effect of everything happening at once, but it's the Android meme showing everything happening at once. Mm-hmm. And so that's a spherical constant. We've got that part of Zappa included in the chart. Then you get the Mobius strip, and then you got the vortex. The main artist I quote in the chart is the vorticist: Wyndham Lewis, James Joyce, Ezra Pound, T.S. Eliot, W.B. Yeats.
Right.
You know, so that it's very interesting that Zappa, of course I knew this, that Zappa says this. And I'm claiming that Zappa is a core foundation for the chart. So I'm presenting a musical composition here. I'm including all the senses, but since music, as McLuhan said in the 60s, we live entirely by music. Music, and as Croker said once, music provides the coherency for the global hologram. This chart is musical. It's dancing. It's a decade dance. The dance of the decades, and the images and memes of the decades replayed by the Android meme, starting in 1960, and then to 90, and then the replay, the after image, while we move into the post, into the silence, the golden silence.
Well, what happens to the Android memes when we get into the hexad and we're past the pentatic or perfect Baroque spirals. Where what happens to the Baldus memes?
Well, that's the question Dave Worster asked. He said, I remember him saying it particularly back to me in about 1993. He said, since Rai created this dimension, and then Rai created first nature, and then product of first nature, us, created second nature, so that's an extension of Rai from a monad point of view, or a monistic point of view. So if Rai goes back to essence, we don't know what part of what he created survives that disappearance of Rai. So we're seeing what is it in human culture or human consciousness or in the anthropomorphic physical that is around in the hexatic phase, which is really what the android meme is. It's a subatomic particulate cancellation moment by moment of communication. So in that sense, the android meme has killed the chemical body, and we're in another dimension. So that led to McLuhan's question, is there life before death?
Mm-hmm.
Under android meme conditions, there may not be. And that's why suicide is rampant, maybe. So this chart, it has a what might be considered an optimistic projection. But as I said to James on cash flow last week, I said that my secret team is going to cancel everybody's debt, at least in the United States. And you heard his reaction to that, that there would be all kinds of violence, similar to bringing cold fusion. In the long run, it brings in more poise, but in the transition, it's incredibly violent. So isn't that reminds me, someone was asking me, pointing out that, oh yeah, they were thinking about the life of Jesus and how he brought in a lot of violence, really. You know, 1,000 years of Christian imperialism. So,
well, the organizations which which popped up claiming to represent Jesus did that.
Right, they wrote it down. McLuhan used to ask the question, why did Socrates, Jesus, and he named someone else, I think, not write anything? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get into a problem when you write something down. Jesus anticipated that effect and didn't write anything, but he couldn't stop the others from writing it, but he knew he'd be embedded into the Piscean Age, so or that he to be embedded in the Piscean Age, he had to get it in writing, so he knew his dupes would write, and then he'd set up this pattern. And, you know, you don't... I mean, McLuhan used to argue with Harold Innes about the services of the Christian Inquisition or the Christian imperialism. He didn't... he said that was a historical perspective he had. Innes didn't, as a secularist, humanist, didn't believe that. But then McLuhan did critique the church in the 20th century. But he writes about how the Catholic Church, you know, created a coherency in the medieval period.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're projecting back attitudes, insights from here, which may not be relevant to the ground when it happened. So maybe he didn't create a bad thing. Maybe he created a good institution. A useful institution for its period of historical dominance.
Mm-hmm.
At least it enhanced individuality.
Well, you know, a lot of people, even to this day, get some comfort from going to church and all of that. And then you have these, you also have these situations where you have these priests abusing young boys. So it's a mixed bag.
Right, so if I'm a black woman and Rai returned to essence in 67, then maybe Isis takes a little longer to return to essence. And so from 67 to 97, till the death of Lady Diana, you had Isis, the afterimage of Isis dominating. And that's a good stretch of the Dobbs Quadrant, 1960-1990. That's why you have Harless Ghost, why I claim be a black woman And why Madonna's in that quadrant?
Yeah.
Madonna, people could assume it's the singer, because it's in the same section as singers are in other quadrants, but it could be the biblical Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, because you do have the second coming over on the right, second column in. So, being a black woman, Harlot's Ghost, after image of Isis, all those factors are in Dobbstown. That's why Connie's embedded in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I say lockdown Connie rule starts after the Hexatic, once we get into the Hexatic.
Right.
And since Isis represents spirit, when Rai returns to spirit in 67, Isis is back home too.
So is the Hexatic the final frontier?
No, it's the beginning of humans being truly modern. It's the beginning of, historians will look back and say, when cold fusion arrived, humans finally, they'll say that's the beginning of the modern age.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to end up becoming two-thirds metal, two-thirds subtle metal, and, in 500 years or so. And all the science fiction projections will come true. And in 500 years, we have the final Armageddon, where we'll know the effects of media, and the latest technology will know, cause us to forget everything we ever knew, whatever we, everything we could remember, and there'll be a fight over whether to push the button or not.
Yeah, some people believe that happened. I mean, these people that talk about the shift in the magnetic poles of the Earth say that when that happens, it wipes out all memory, and that it's happened before.
And that's coming when?
Well, I don't know. You know, these things are always looming.
When we're waiting for it.
Yeah, but I don't remember when they said it happened the last time it happened, but I guess it would have been when Atlantis got wiped out or something.
So we have Prometheus, and since it's Pandatic, it's the android meme, and Prometheus is the mythical figure who steals the creative power from the gods, and in a sense starts the second nature. Technology evolution, did it come to a good ending? Was it worth it? Was it a bad Rumpelstiltskin or a good Rumpelstiltskin? Was it useful or useless Rumpelstiltskin? That's part of the questioning of what remains of human.
Well, you know, everybody would probably have a different opinion depending on whether or not they surfed the services or were victimized by the disservices.
Right, and that's what's been the content of media for most of the 20th century and up to now is people opinionating. And as Foucault pointed out, Finnegan's Wake is, a million-voiced whispering gallery. Millions of opinions. That's what's really been.
Well, it's more than opinions. Some people truly have had blessed lives and benefited and other people have been had pretty rough go of it, depending on whether or not you were able to be a beneficiary of the services of technology, or whether or not you were victimized by the disservices of it.
No, it also includes the users, the content, and the mental habits of the person, the characteristic features. Many people like pain, many people like suffering. So you couldn't judge who is having a good time and who is a bad time. On the surface, those that seem to be in pain, it would look to be a disservice, but maybe their personality, their psychology inside themselves wants that.
Well, yeah, they say that you sort of get what you ask for, what you're looking for, but I don't think anybody really likes suffering, even though they may, for some ulterior reasons, they don't even understand.
Well, everybody suffers, even happy people. A lot of people here in Hawaii don't look very happy,
mm-hmm.
but they're in a pretty friendly environment.
Right.
So, there's the anthropomorphic projection there. How do we know there's anybody inside anybody's skin? As UG Krishnamurti says, we're just tape recordings.
Well, yeah, I know. I was confronted by this thought the other day. And, see, I will insist that I exist. I can't know that for sure about you, but based on the fact that I know I exist, I pretty much assume that you do too.
Yeah, but am I a tape recording? Responding to your tape recording?
Well, if you move into that place in where you are silent, then you do have some selection. There's some selection that you have over what you choose, how you choose to respond. You know, I was impressed by something that Carr talked about with respect to UG Krishnamurti. I mean, it became more apparent to me that than ever before that all we can really know is what sort of, in other words, what we already know. What we've already sort of recorded is our memory and sense of identity just keeps going around and around and around, and that's the basis from which we then filter our sensory data and our experience of ourselves and one another. And I think that's why, you know, 10 people, you know, there could be 100 people and maybe 2 people see a UFO and they point and everybody looks at the sky and nobody else sees it because it's simply outside of their perceptual paradigm. They don't have any memory of ever having seen anything like that, and they wouldn't recognize it if it jumped up and bit them in the ass. And we're kind of sequestered into only being able to experience the world from the point of view of what we already know or believe to be true. And then, like Gurdjieff talked about this idea of when a shock, either external or internal shock, occurs to the system, where maybe something new breaks into the system and there's some little transformation or something and you do incorporate something new into your personal memory theater, which allows you to maybe possibly expand your consciousness. I don't remember why I got off on this rant, but it had something to do, oh, I know, with what you were saying, you know, are we all tape recorders? But if we do get to that place where we're silent, even though we have a limited set of maybe internalized experiences and tapes and so on, recordings to draw from, I think we can find ourselves in a position of at least having the ability to make selections as to how we want to respond.
Say that last sentence. Make selections.
Make selections as to how we want to respond to stimulus from the outside. It's not all automatic, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Let's end it with those words. You get the last word.
Well, there's more to do here on the chart, actually.
Okay, what?
On the top here where you have the 5 TVs, sacrificial TV, crash TV, disciplinary TV,
yeah,
surveillance TV,
those
and experimental TV.
Poker.
Right. When you refer to the TV body, do you include all those 5 categories?
Yeah. And that is the breaking up of the monolithic broadcasting TV environment of the 50s, 60s, 70s. As the chip landscape came in, TV started to specialize, fragment, and offer different kinds of programming,
mm-hmm.
different markets. So It then became, in a sense, the inheritor of the role of Big Brother. And Croker is highlighting the Big Brother aspects of the TV landscape with those four characteristics: sacrificial, crash, disciplinary surveillance, and excremental.
Mm-hmm. And when you refer to the TV body, are you including more than that, or just those, just all of that together?
They become absorbed. Remember that that's the TV landscape. The TV landscape becomes absorbed by the anthropomorphic physical, and they become subsets of a person's personality. They go inside and are contained within the quadrophenia.
Yeah.
They're shrunk.
Right.
So that someone could, once the internet happened, somebody could have five different internet identities. And you get five different websites, one featuring sacrifice, one featuring crash, one featuring disciplinary, another surveillance, and another excremental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if a person didn't create all those identities, then those are just landscapes. They're not part of the person's body.
No, the person would have autonomy with other media. Just having voicemail is autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chip landscape is not just in the computer. It's in all kinds of gadgets.
Right. But everybody's TV body then is sort of a tailor-made configuration depending on how they choose to interact.
Yeah. But they do have to interact with it.
Oh, okay.
They do have
well, that's
to
an interesting distinction because, there's this generic term that you use, you know, TV body as if everybody has the same one. And we're all in the same TV body matrix, but we all have a different relationship to it.
Yeah, the landscape is a given, the TV environment, but it's been miniaturized and narrowcasted and personalized so that it becomes controlled by the anthropomorphic physical, or the human, and that is the realm of the TV body.
Mm-hmm.
And you can program your TV body the way you want.
Yeah, okay. So it's like dressing yourself with whatever fashion you think looks good on you.
Right, and that's where you're the you're the producer in the Dobbs Quadrant. Remember, the Dobbs Quadrant covers the main characteristics of the Android meme from 60 to 90 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a producer of your identity. You have become a Prometheus. Here comes everybody as a Prometheus, the way you quadraphenically handle the stoning effect of the electronic and digital environment, the ecstasy
right.
that you are given. You take some part of your anthropomorphic physical projection and save it. Save the kidney. That's what that phrase refers to.
Yeah, but why a kidney?
Because the anthropomorphic physical, there's a lot of references to the physical.
Yeah, I know, but I remember when around the time you published your chart was when Jerry's girlfriend was giving up one of her kidneys to a friend.
Right, and he was very into Garrett Dean, and Garrett Dean's name's right above it.
Right, and so we kind of made this, you know, we had this little inside joke that that's what that meant. But maybe you had something else
chart,
in mind.
I made the chart for Flipside. I think it's Jerry was part of getting me in Flipside. At least Aardvark had to call Jerry to find me, and Jerry was in L.A. where Flipside was, so Jerry knew about Flipside, so being involved with Jerry Pialka and Pialka's Funny Farm in the mid-90s was appropriate at the time of the making this chart because he was into Garrett Dean. That was his favorite Holy Office, and his future wife was working on her kidneys.
Yeah, well, she was donating one to a girlfriend.
Right, so yeah, there was the... an example of synchronicity, or maybe mizinochrony for me in L.A. was through Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he worked for Zappa.
Right. But that wasn't a conscious thought when you put Save the Kidney.
No.
What was your conscious thought when you put Save the Kidney in there?
Well,
Well, you could have said save the gallbladder, but you said save the kidney.
First of all, Garrett Dean's in there because he was my personal mentor. And he's listed that way as a holy office. One's a private mentor, and that was him. And save the kidney is a reference to people thinking that they're going back to the physical. As the android meme shrinks, they think they're recovering their physical body. But the physical body is permeated by the other bodies. So if you think you're saving your physical body, you're basically saving a part of your total body, which is all five, or at least all four. And so therefore, the illusion, these phrases are the public distillations of an unconscious effect. So people think they're saving the environment, or they're saving the kidney. It's a takeoff on saving the whale, saving the kidney, saving the environment, but it's a body part, because people think that they're anthropomorphic physical.
But you could have chosen any body part. It was just accidental that you chose the kidney.
Oh, no, that's from Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, they had a skit where they made fun of the cook Julia Child, I think her name was.
Yeah.
Julia Child, the famous chef that had a TV show on that, and they, in their skits, this is back, I don't know, I haven't seen Saturday Night Live for so many decades, but way back there, 70s and 80s, they were doing, she was, you know, being satirized, made fun of, and one of her themes was, save the kidney.
Oh, okay.
Save the kidney.
Right.
And in telling the amateur cook what to do with the leftovers or whatever and for future recipes. And Saturday Night Live is in one of the earlier Bob Marshall charts.
Oh, all right. Then let's see, you got the, probably not much to say about the icosahedron. It's got 20 faces. It just happens to have more faces than any of the previous.
Yeah, well, it's 4 times 5, which is what the chart is.
Oh, yeah, cool.
You know, a quadrant means 4 quadrants, 4, right. 4 parts, but it's done 5 times, so to speak.
Each face of the 20 faces is an equilateral triangle, by the way.
Yeah.
And
if you look somewhere, I talk about the alchemists argued over whether it was a fourfold or a fivefold. It's even between East and West. The Chinese alchemy is 5 parts, Western alchemy is 4. So the 4-5 is a ambivalent overlap. So the chart has a 4-5 aspect, but if you multiply, you get 20.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mystery body is the 5th body, but we don't know it. There's only 4.
Right.
There are 5 zones here, so we actually include the mystery body. I mean, it's really funny that people don't know who I am. I certainly am the only one appropriate among these, among the people presented in the Fatty Communion with Bob Dobbs book, McLuhan, LaRouche, Croker, and Thompson, and me. I'm the one closest to the mystery body in my public reception.
Right.
They don't know what time it is in reference to me.
And we don't. And we enter the mystery body when we get into the hexet, which we're into now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty close to it. We're the closest that the android meme could present before the actual cold fusion environment comes in.
And the android meme evaporates, apparently, or we don't know.
That's right. We don't know what's left. So you have the other physical reference point is flesh. So I'm teasing the viewer. I'm putting it. Physical body, flesh, save the kidney, and I think is there one other thing in there? No, I guess that's it. Oh, just the title, anthropomorphic physical.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this, but it is on one level accurate. It's the first nature, reference to first nature, which all the technologies come from.
Mm-hmm.
That first nature is not limited to what we know. In first nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I gotta go. So let's leave it at that. I think I don't know if there's more to say, but
well, there's a couple more details. Not enough to have another session over. But if you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah. So if we get Will on next week, we can stick the final details in the middle of what he wants to talk about.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Okay, signing off for February the 16th.